You know, it's not hard. Just do what the Word says to do. And it's the power of the Word. I mean, we have no power of our own. Here, it's God's power, yet it says that Peter healed the sick. It says that Paul healed the sick. What does that mean? Well, it's like if you have a TV system, television system at home, and you turn it on, you're the one that turns it on. But the power is already there. It's supplied by the power company, right? This is the turn on to all the power of God right here. When you start saying with your mouth what you believe in your heart, you will have what you say. The door to the supernatural, Brother Hagin used to say this, oh, I don't know how many times he said, the door to the supernatural power of God swings on two hinges, believing it and saying it. For it says, this is the spirit of faith. That's how it operates. I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. That's how we call light to shine out of darkness. That's how we call healing to shine out from our spirit, into our soul, into our body. And that's how we connect with God. And that's what the Word says to do. Thank you, Judy, for sharing that. Talk to your body. Don't be so quick to pick up the phone and call 911. Although if you need to, I mean, do it. But avail yourself. I mean, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So it's until you get the Word working in your life, yeah, avail yourself of medical help. But work towards having the Word working in you and exercise that Word. We have a new series that we're opening up this month, Divine Keys for Supernatural Success. The Bible talks about success, and it talks about what success is really, what it's really comprised of, what it really is. The world has a very small, narrow view of what success is. They attribute it all to financial. You know, if somebody has a big house, a good income and everything, they're very successful. Really? Are they? What do other people say about them? How do they treat their employees? How do they treat their wife or their kids? Do they have a lot of friends? Do people want to be around? You know, success is that's a broad term. And but in the Bible, it's all inclusive about a complete fulfillment of life, a peace in life too. And today we're going to talk about, in part one, we're going to talk about meditation keys. Don't go to sleep on me if you're meditating. You'll like this. But so let's just get right into our weekly confession here. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. The word is God. Turn with me in your Bibles. We got to do a laser beam today. To Joshua chapter 1. Joshua represents a transition time from Moses to Joshua. Joshua was Moses' wingman, let's put it that way. He was the wingman. Moses needed to get something done. Joshua knew how to get it done. And this is transitioning from being out in the wilderness, the law, the tabernacle, all that stuff, and coming into the promised land. Now, in the Old Testament, we had symbols. Symbolic. These are types and shadows of what was to come. So when we look at the promised land in the New Testament, that represents the promises of God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says that all the promises of God in Christ, in him, are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. We are involved in that. We have a part in that. But all the promises of God in him are yes. It's got his rubber stamp on it. It's got his golden seal on it that cannot be taken away by any man. It's the seal of approval. Let's put it that way. In verse 8 of Joshua 1, he told Joshua, remember we're talking about meditation keys. He said, this book of the law, now when he says law, that's what they called the word of God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, all was called the law, those five books. And why they call it the law was, yeah, there's a physical law given in Exodus, the Ten Commandments, and then he had 613 other points that they had to bring out, but that was the physical law, but it's also the laws of life. This is how to live successfully in life. This book of the law shall not depart out of your what? This has something to do with it, doesn't it? But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, success is not the world's idea, it's God's. Amen? Amen. Success is not the world's idea, it's God's idea. And there's a way to get there. Strong's Concordance defines meditate as to murmur, to ponder, to imagine, to meditate. That was a good word from Dwight this morning, too. Isn't he awesome?
Yes.
Praise God for him. Man, we love you, Dwight. Keep it coming. It's like water to a thirsty soul. It means to imagine. It means to meditate. It means to mourn, actually. You can meditate on sad things. Or you can meditate on glad things. It means to mutter. It means to roar. That's what meditate means. Roar! Roar! Atta boy, Angus, come on, man. You and me, buddy. Yeah. Means to roar, soar, speak, study, talk, utter. Do you see how involved your mouth is with meditation? It means that another definition of meditate in a Hebrew phrase is to chew the cud of. You've heard me say this before. A cow eats grass. It goes into one stomach and it cannot do anything with it. Meaning the first time you hear a word, it may not make much sense to you. And so the devil comes to, it says, if you receive the word of the kingdom and you don't understand it, then comes that wicked one and steals the word out of your heart. So what happens is it doesn't make much sense to you. So you just kind of make a note of it and put it on the back burner. Then the cow vomits that up and it goes down into, this is kind of gross, but it's the way it works. So, and it goes down to the next stomach, comes up, goes to the next stomach, comes up, goes to the next stomach. And it's a process of keeping that word in front of your eyes all the time till it finally say, oh, then the revelation comes. And you got, and understanding comes, light comes, and you can see what it's saying to you, and it opens up a door for you, and you can walk right through it. and you can obtain that promise, obtain that benefit, obtain that blessing. And sometimes you just got to roar. I'm going to read you something I wrote back in 2016. This was a word of the week that came out on it on 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, when it says, you know, greater is he who is in you. It starts off by saying, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. See, we don't fight our fights based on overcoming. We based on it that we already have overcome, and therefore we come into this battle from the point of victory already, because God's already given it to us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Say that. Greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. Why is that? Because you are of God. Take a few minutes with this scripture and let the scripture speak to you. Let it grow louder and louder, louder than your thoughts, louder than your past, louder than your infirmities and weakness, louder than your finite mind can handle. You need to blow that thing apart. Let these words become a tree of life within you, whose roots permeate and tap into kingdom ground, whose branches stretch out, springing forth with new life. Receive them as words that are spoken directly to you from the very heart of the Father, declaring before all heaven and earth that you are of God. Say that with me. I am of God. I am of, say it again, I am of God. I am of God. These are the words of the Father. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd telling you that you are of God. All the angels in heaven know these words and are in agreement with the God who spoke them, and that you are of God. They, the angels of God, hearken to the voice of the word. Psalm 103, verse 20. Write that down. They hearken to the voice of the word of God. Who is the one that speaks the word of God in this world right now? Us. And the angels hearken to the voice of the word. Let these words manifest, be made flesh in your life to such an extent that your identity will agree with nothing less than what has already been declared by the Father and settled forever in heaven, that you are of God. Remember, his word is forever settled in heaven. When this truth begins to unlock the mind of Christ in you, and you begin to experience the freedom that this truth brings to your soul, you will realize that you are already an overcomer, because everything and anything that opposes you is no match for the greater one in you. From the very moment you read that scripture, it has begun to work inside you, encouraging you, establishing in you in his plan for your life, and liberating you from a mindset of defeat, creating in you a mindset of unlimited authority and power. You are of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Say this with me. I am of God. The Word of God declares it. I refuse to accept anything that does not identify with God's Word. My identity comes from God's Word. It will never change. It has been forever settled in heaven, and I establish it here on earth. Meditate, 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 day and night. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Why is it so important to meditate on the Word of God? Well, that's when light starts to shine and the Word becomes a light to your path and a lamp unto your feet. That's where these things start to appear to us. It is, the Word of God is a mirror for who we are in the Spirit. When you read through the Gospels, you know, Oral Roberts said to do this a number of years ago, I did it. Read, he said, if you want to get an image of God in your heart that cannot be denied, take the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and read them through 3 times in 30 days. He says, if you do that, an image of Jesus, an undefeatable Jesus, an all-victorious Jesus will start to form in you, because the more you learn about Jesus, the more you're uncovering who you really are in the Spirit. That you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you when you were born again. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of the Anointed One and His anointing. The New Testament is the mirror. It says so in James. James chapter 1. We heard the kids recite James chapter 1 Thursday before Christmas. And they stood up here and they recited the whole first chapter of the book of James. That was just absolutely amazing. Amen. And then, I don't know how many of their parents could actually do that. But those kids are off to a good start in life. The Word of God is becoming a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Amen. The Word of God is what gives us our spiritual identity. We start to identify with who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, all we can do with Christ, and where we are seated with Christ. It displaces our old way of thinking and believing and speaking. Why is that? Because the Word is God. The only thing that can unplug your mind from the past, from limitations of human frailty and all of these things, from fear, things you don't see, things you don't know. The only thing that can unplug you and plug you in is the Word of God. The only thing that can change your heart is the Word of God. The only thing that can really change your thinking to the point of where you become transformed by the renewing of your mind is the Word of God. That's why it's so important to meditate on the Word of God, even if it's just one scripture in a day where you just keep on coming back to that and coming back to that and coming back to that, and it starts forming spokes unto all the facets of your life that you encounter that day, and it begins to feed you with strength and power so you know how to handle yourself in the decisions of life. It's how the Word becomes flesh in your life. Meditating on the Word of God. Let me read you some statements here. What you believe is where you will end up. And what is possible for you depends on what you believe. So what you believe is where you will end up. What you believe about yourself is where you will end up. What you believe about God is where you'll end up in your understanding of God. We need to really understand God, how He works, how He thinks, how He loves. We need to really get into this, because we're getting down to the place now in the time of this world where these things are coming to critical mass. And we need to be equipped. What you believe is where you'll end up, and what is possible for you depends on what you believe. That's statement number one. Number two. Your belief system is already established in your heart. For it is with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's not a head thing. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. So your belief system is first in your heart, and it has been forming over the years by what you observed, what you have associated with, and what you have been taught. That forms your belief system. Your belief system is first in your heart, and it is formed by what you have observed, associated, and what you have been taught through outward influences and so forth, what you have agreed with. Biblical meditation, this is statement number three, biblical meditation will transform your belief system in an accelerated manner towards God's fulfillment of his word and blessing in your life. Biblical meditation will transform your belief system. That'll change your destination in life. It'll change everything. Because what you believe now is what God says about you. And what God says about you cannot be altered, can it? Biblical meditation will transform your belief system in an accelerated manner to fulfill God's, so his word can be fulfilled in your life and his blessing can be fulfilled in your life. Psalm 19, verse 7 says this, the law or the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word of God is what converts or changes our soul. That word convert means to turn back to the beginning. In other words, to go back to the starting point. If you have a bad start to your belief system, if you have a bad start to the way you're thinking, wrong thinking about yourself, a wrong image and vision. See, this is what the Word of God does. It paints. Your tongue is a pen of a ready writer. It starts to write on your heart. But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. You know, wisdom of this world can get real complicated. But he simplifies it. In his word, it's very simple. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says this, and I'm going to read down to verse 27. But he says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth. That's a perverse mouth. You know what a perverse mouth is? It's not cussing and swearing. That's not a perverse mouth. I mean, it is. But he's talking, put away from you a perverse mouth. In other words, if you're a tither and you have a need in your life, for you to say something saying, ugh, oh, this is a problem, man. I am broke. If you're a tither, you're never broke. That is to take the word of God and say that God does not fulfill his word. God is not faithful. He cannot do this for me. If you're a tither, you have a covenant right to expect. I remember one time I came home. Let me share this. And I had been in the Word, like, all day. I mean, I was just floating with faith. And I looked at Lori. I came in the door, and it looked like somebody just hit her in the gut. I mean, she just, you know, what that does to you when you see someone you love. And I said, what's up? Never say, what's the matter? She said, what's up? And she said, well, I got a bad report from the doctor today. They found lumps, breast area, pelvic area. And Lori's a nurse. When the doctor said, okay, she said, I want you to go get blood drawn, da, 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 da. And Lori knows that that's not a good thing, right? So she explained this to me, and I said, hold that thought, I'll be right back. Went upstairs, and I said, what about this, Lori? We're tithers. You rebuke the devourer for us, don't you? I didn't even get those words out of my mouth. And it was almost ear-splitting to me what the Lord said. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, and if the two of you agree on anything, I'll do it. Amen. I just heard from God. My faith went through the roof, up through the clouds, past anything I could see. I was in heaven.
Praise God.
And I came down, and I was like strutting. I was like, come here, come here. We're going to take authority over that. We're going to agree together. Yes. You know, the power of agreement, the prayer of agreement is a powerful thing. Watch your words. Watch what you're agreeing with. And we did. We had a time, and we agreed. She went back to the doctor. You know, they couldn't find those lumps anymore. They couldn't find that, and they couldn't find anything wrong with the blood. I said, that's because of the blood. She just got an infusion of the real blood. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, if you don't know these things, you can be robbing yourself of a long life. Thank God. You see, I was meditating in the Word of God. Ready. It gives you a readiness to deal with things like this. And you open your mouth and let that power out. The power's already there. He's already given it to you. It's just a matter of using it and directing it. It says, for they are life to and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth. Don't agree with this world. Don't agree with symptoms. Don't agree with shortages. Don't agree with lack. Don't agree with all that stuff is under the curse of the law. In fact, you can read Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through the end of the chapter, and everything you find in there, that's the curses of the law. That's everything you've been delivered from. He has redeemed me from the curse of the law, Christ having been made a curse for me. So, put away from you a froward mouth, a perverse mouth, and perverse lips, put far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let not your eyelids look straight before you, or let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. What is this decision? Where is this decision going to lead me? Where is this reaction going to lead me? Where is this, where I'm about to speak these words, where is that going to lead me? Ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established. That means confirmed. Let it be known that you are a faithful man or woman of God, that you are dependable. Let that strength exude from you. Let that be the statement that your presence makes. Turn not to the right hand, to the left, or move your foot from evil. David said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, the scoffers. If you're sitting at a table at lunch time where you work or wherever, and you don't get caught up in a conversation of cynics, skeptics, critics, just get away from it. Remove yourself from evil, it says. Blessed is a man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat, nor stands in the way, or walks in the same street that sinners do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in the Word of God? Do you delight in it? Delight in it. If you don't, start. Start delighting in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. You know, your attitude towards the Word of God is your attitude towards God. Amen. Because the Word is God. What you think about the Word, how you perceive the Word, whether you think the Word doesn't work here or doesn't work. No. Your attitude towards the Word of God is the same as your attitude towards God himself. Take that into account when you're reading the Word, because this Word is God speaking to you. This Word is God's life being imparted. It is incorruptible seed that will grow up and become exactly like the seed itself. And Jesus is the seed of Abraham. He is the seed of God. Praise God. Attend to his words. That means pay attention to his word. Don't pay attention to the devil's word. Attend unto his word, unto his word, unto his word. Attend unto his word. He said, attend unto my word. You know, my father used to say, listen to what I'm telling you. Why? Because he wants the best for me. He still does. He's rooting for me. He's in heaven now, and he's rooting for old Tom. Amen. Because you know what? I will always be the son of Robert Totten. I don't fellowship with him now, but I'll always be his son. But more than that, I'm a son of the living God, and so is he. So we are joined in this thing together by the blood. Hello. Okay. Incline your ear. That means, incline means to bend away from all else. Bend away and incline your ear to his sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. I'm telling you something. This is a way of life. It's not, you know, it says that the just shall live by faith. That doesn't mean you visit there. It doesn't mean you vacation there. When you're done doing everything else, now you go on and you say, okay, now I'm going to listen to God. No, he wants to be in the details of your whole life. He wants to be there. He wants to be involved. Why? Because he wants to flood you with blessings. He wants to give you gifts. He wants to do stuff for you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to enjoy you. He wants you to enjoy his fellow. He has something to eat. He doesn't need anything. You do. And so he wants to add to you those things. He wants to be that supply, which is what El Shaddai means. The God of the full supply, the God who's more than enough. He wants to add those things to you. But if you're not meditating in the word, you're not going to be led by the Spirit, and you're going to miss it. Don't do it. This book of the word shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Then you'll have good success. Good success. You know, you can be really successful and have a lot of bad stuff happen to you. But good success is where every area of your life is covered by covenant reality. That you may observe to do according to all. Do. See, you can't do the word unless you're meditating on it. In order to do the word, you can do what you think the word says, but when you do what the word says, that comes from meditating on it and getting a more full understanding and a wider picture and a fuller screen of what this is actually saying. God is in heaven. You're here on the earth. Be more willing to hear than to speak. And to just hear the word of God over and over in your heart. Speak it out of your mouth. Look at it with your eyes. Hear it with your ears. Amen? Amen. Supernatural keys. These are keys, divine keys. Remember when Jesus, I'll just go into this. They came to Caesarea Philippi, which there's this huge rock, and it's a cliff. And Caesarea Philippi, by the way, was a place where they worshipped Baal, and they had like 14 other deities that the Canaanites worshipped there and so forth. And those things lingered on through the children of Israel when they came into the land. And Jesus brings the apostles, brings the disciples, and he says, who do they say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. You know, men have a lot of opinions. A lot of Christians have a lot of opinions, and none of it is God. A lot of born-again Christians have a lot of opinions. But opinions are like noses. Everybody has one, but they usually got a couple of holes in them. Opinions come and go. You can be talked out of opinions, but you can't be talked out of something that God shows you and reveals to you. You can't be talked out of it. The devil can't pry. If God showed you something in his word and it becomes real to you, there's no way the devil can even pry it out of your hand. Why? Because you know who you are. And you say, get! Get your hands off it or get out of my presence. It's okay, Angus. We're just kind of playing here, but not really. We're talking about divine keys for supernatural success. This is success that talks, that goes beyond human limitations, beyond human understanding, beyond human alone imagination. You got to use the imagination that comes from the Word of God, like Dwight was saying earlier. And imagination is something that God gave you to, as a tool, so that you would have the capacity to think like He thinks, to see as He sees, to understand the things that He understands. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, "Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." The only way that you can keep the Lord as your God in the middle of your life and be the very axle of everything around your life that you base everything around, the only way you can do that is meditating on the Word. This is why it's so important to meditate on the Word. Listen with both ears. See and look with both eyes. Hear. You know, Moses, the Lord said to Moses one time, He said, "Listen, listening." Listen, listening. That's important. There are people who think, well, you know, if God wants me to have this, if God wants me to be a spiritual giant, then He would have made me one. Get that thinking out of your head, because that's not what the Bible teaches. Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. And I haven't arrived, he said. Look, he said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward. This is something you have to do on purpose. This is something you have to take the Word of God and say, I don't care what my situation is, what my circumstances are. They will bow their knee to the Word of God. The Word of God lives in me, abides. If I abide in Him and His words abide in me, I will ask or call forth what I will, and it will be done. The Word of God has to come alive. That root system goes into heaven itself. That seed, when it's planted in your heart, when it grows up, it will come up and it will live and it will speak. When a problem comes, that Word was right there with the answer. It'll just come up right in your spirit and you will see it and you'll understand it and you'll laugh. You'll say, thank you, Jesus. That's all taken care of. But you have to do, it's something that you have to continually agree with, continually walk in the truth. And if you continue and continue and continue in the truth will make you free. James called it the law of liberty. What is that? Well, you continue in it and continue in it and continue it and you continue in it and you continue it and your body says you're sick, you're going to die, you're going to do this. There's nothing that can be done. That's a lie. Because it may be impossible with men, but all things are possible with God.
Amen.
Snort. You know, sometimes it doesn't have to be words. Sometimes, you know, the devil puts this idea and it plants it's a double-edged attack where he puts a question in your mind and then a symptom in your body, or a question in your mind and then a symptom in your business dealings or whatever it is. It's a two, and he attacks both ways that way to get you off balance. But all you sometimes you just go, just take the key ring. And shake it. You better get out of here. I'm going to start unlocking some power. I can't tell you how many times we've done this. You have been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And how do those kingdom keys operate? By revelation. Who do men say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father revealed this to you. This is a revelation that you got from my Father, and I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. When when the revelation of who Jesus is comes to you and floods your heart, and you begin to have eyes to see that you never had before, ears to hear that you never had before, a mind that understands like you never did before, revelation, 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 revelation. He said, I'm going to build my church on the revelation of who I am. It's not just something you do religion. You go get a wafer and a pat on the head. And all they do is religion. They just do a lot of religion. No, this is actively participating with God. And it's exciting. Get rid of that religion. You don't need it. That's man's religion, man's ways, man's philosophies. Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. It's a continual pressing, pressing, pressing. You know what? He wrote to Timothy and said, I've run my race. I've finished my course. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. Aren't you, when you get to the end of your life, what do you want? Do you want to have that readiness? And you can say with the Apostle Paul, I never really counted myself to arrive, but when that crown goes on my head, Father, I'm gonna honor you. I'm gonna throw it at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And I, for the rest of eternity, I will owe all to him. Amen. 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 I got so much stuff here we can go, but we ran a little long this morning. You forgive me? You better. Okay. You don't want to walk in unforgiveness. Father, we thank you for your word. It won't return to you void. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you for the life and the love and the blessing, the healing and deliverance that is in your word. Thank you, Father, for the assurance that we have what you say we have. We can do what you say we can do. We are who you say we are. And we are seated where you say we are seated. Raised up together with Christ, seated with him together, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And we thank you, Father, that we walk in the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is within us. Therefore, we give all diligence to your word, to connect us with the power, the light, and the blessing of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.